Let's begin. Rabbi Yisrael, let's go to this week's Parshas Shemini. Vayhi Bayom HaShemini. Is it the eighth time we're learning Shemini? I think it's everybody say right. This year, what? Tomorrow will be the eighth time. Why is it called Parshas Shemini? Because tomorrow will be the eighth time we're learning the first Aliyah of Shemini. Right? That's this year when it works, when Pesach is the first is on Shabbos. When the first day of Pesach and Shabbos, the Shabbos before by Mincha Yilein Shmini, Monday, Thursday Shmini, and then again Shmini by Mincha, and Nochamal Shmini, Monday, Thursday, and then finally we learn Shmini again for the last time tomorrow, and we learn the Parashah. So that's a nice little remez why it's called Parashah Shmini, because in this type of year, we learn it 8 times. The first Aliyah, not Eretz Yisrael, here in America. Here in America, we learn 8 times. Tomorrow is also Mochar Chodesh. Tomorrow, don't forget the right, say the right half Torah. Machodesh, we only have Torah of the parasha, but we'll hopefully talk a little bit about Machodesh if we have some time. Okay, what else do you think about this week's parasha? Shislchal, that's right. Mafteach. The Shabbos after Pesach, he's supposed to take a key that's full of rust and has as much bacteria as you possibly can find and put it into your challah and serve it on the table. And watch everyone's reaction.
Honestly, they have signs on the stores.
They don't today. Okay, it used to maybe be they would do this. They would put a key into the challah. Today, I think it's more they make the challah. Today, they make the challah in the tzura. They're different than Hagim. They do something to remind people that it's called shlissel challah. And the idea is that there's a chef of Parnassa. A parnasa is a blessing of parnasa, which begins after Pesach. Pesach, we eat matzah. Matzah is lechem, and when we begin to appreciate ki loyal lechem levado yichi ha'adam. We go through Pesach. I don't even know what I'm saying. And mavteach represents a key to parnasa. That's pretty much what it's about. What does parnasa have to do with Pesach? I don't really understand. It has to do with the matzah. Matz is lechem, ki loy al ha-lechem levado yichyei ha-adam. Lechem av, you need to be replenished. After paying $30 a pound for hin matzah, you need to replenish your bank account. In the zechus of the mitzvah, Hashem will help you out. Okay, mavtech, something along those lines. Also, they like to say that it's a time to mechazek. I think the better pshat, that's more appealing, is mavtech, is bigmatria. What is the gematria? 528. What is the number? What is the significance of number 528? There are 528 pirakim in Mishnayis, and being that we are now heading towards Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah, it's a time to be mechazek in Limud HaTorah, and Limud HaTorah is all rooted, is all encompassed in Mishnayis. Mishnayis got it all. Mishnayis, my favorite Seder. We learned something before that. Mishnayis, Gevaldik Mishnayis, his Kalatar Akula is found in Mishnayis. Everything is there. 528 Perakim, the Gematria Mafteach, after Pesach, the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Tavdun, Esolokim Al Hohor Hazeh. So we have to focus on Mishnayis. Look, we begin Pirkei Avos. Okay, Derech Eretz Kodem LaTorah. We learn Pirkei Avos, also Mishnayis. It's also Mishnayis. In fact, it's the Mishnayis Derech Eretz Kodem LaTorah. It's a hachona for Kabbalah Satorah. There's no way to be meichin for Kabbalah Satorah better than learning Torah. And Torah all begins with Torah Shebichsav, of course. There's Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh is all in the Mishnayis. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's the Shlissel Challah. The challah, Torah is lechem, lechu lacham ubilachmi, and the lechem shav the tzura of a mavteach. 528 pirakim of Mishnayis.
Also, I think today is the last day for birchas ilanos.
Not necessarily. You can do birchas ilanos even after Nissan passes if it has blossomed late. They're heterim to do it late.
How do you know if the tree?
I don't know. Even if you didn't do it, you can do it. But you can do it even after Chodesh Nisan. It's not over yet. It's not too late yet. Okay, I don't know. I don't. It cannot be more than 300-400 years. Not possible. Not possible.
There's a minute to eat
lox. Lox.
Lox.
Even though I get it. Even though I get it. So slow, even though I have the drunk. All right, it's a good job, McMayer. We're going to give you an award for that job. That's your own? That's your own? Give you a bagel. Yeah, we'll give you a bagel for that one. Okay, Larry, I said, now let's discuss some Torah lesson. So what? First idea.
Rashi says,
of course.
There's only Shiva Yomelui. There wasn't Shmini.
It's the eighth day. The Miluim began on the 23rd day.
It's the eighth day, but not the eighth day to
Miluim.
It wasn't
Miluim.
It was the...
Okay, so there were 7 days. Moshe served. Moshe, 7 days. The last... The last 7 days of Adar.
Right.
Okay. Fine. Okay, fine. Vayhi Vayayim HaShmini was a day unto itself. Okay, boys, so let's go further. Now, here is the first idea. Let's discuss that. The first idea I want to mention to you is the difference between Narvardik and Slobodka. We know that in Europe, before the war, developed in Klal Yisrael two very, very different approaches to Yadus. Very different hashkafas. Not a matter of halacha is halacha. Halacha is one Shulchan Aruch that unites us. But then there are matters of midos, hashkafa, a approach to how to live your life. And there were two major yeshivas, two major institutions, the Slobodka approach, and there was a Narvardik approach. In Slobodka, what was the third? What? What was the third one?
Kelim.
And Kelim was Musar, was similar to Narvardik, no?
Yeah, but so was Slobodka.
Okay, but they're all Musar yeshivas, but there's a very noticeable difference in their approach. So I think, I mean, maybe you're right, but the
major difference was between Narvardik and Kelim.
No.
Yes.
More so than Slobodka? No. Slobodka was, they dressed with the, I don't know, I'm just telling you what it says in the books. In Slobodka, it is Pierre, tell me if I'm wrong, they knew how to dress. What?
Slobodka followed the Kelim.
The Kelim Halach? Okay, fine. So Slobodka and Kelim, the terminology that they use, I'm just telling you what it says, and I don't know from nothing, but the terminology they use is the kavod, the godless Adam versus shiflus Adam, the greatness of what man can be versus the lowliness of what man is relative to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in Slobodka, they dress very well. They enjoyed life. There was dignity. You had to have derech eretz for your fellow man. You had derech eretz for yourself. Okay, today we live in a world, all of the major yeshivas today in America and throughout the world were established, hashkacha pratis, by survivors of the Slobodka institutions. The other institution was the approach of Narvardik. Narvardik means you are nothing. You are nothing kineged the Ribbono Shel Olam. You dress like a schlump. I don't know if that's really true. It doesn't really mean that. But it means
worse
than a schlump. Yeah.
You turned your jacket
inside out. I'll give you some examples. Like today, think about today. You go now to the bakery in Avenue M and make sure you go when the whole bakery is packed with people waiting on lawn. You come to your turn and you say to them, can I please buy some lumber? We gotta get a screw. I want to buy a screwdriver and some nails. And they're all going to look at you, Meshuggah. You're in a bakery. You're in a bakery. We don't sell screws and nails and lumber in a bakery. You're shaita. Why would you want to do this? Why would you want to do this in the bakery? Because you want to humiliate yourself. The humiliation you bring upon yourself is wonderful for your neshama. It humbles you. And that serves as a springboard to serve the Rebbe. Please, I have some decorum. That serves as a springboard to come close to Hashem. You then, after you finish getting that humiliation, you then go to the lumber yard. And you go to Ace, one of the big these stores, they sell all these things. And you say, can I please have two challahs? And the humiliation builds. This was the approach. You wear your jacket inside out. You do strange things. You stay up the whole night. You don't sleep. It's a whole different approach. Shiflus Adam. Obviously, it's the Hashkacha practice that the survivors of Europe, It is hashkacha pratis. We're by and large products of Slobodka. It wasn't by design. It just happened. That's how it happened. That's who survived. And these survivors, they went on to establish yeshivas, institutions, based upon the style of what they were trained. They were taught coming from these institutions that follow the approach of the godless Saada, the greatness of man, dignity. And that has danger. Now, each one of these two approaches obviously is very great dangers. Yeah?
In that yeshiva, the upper class and the best manager were davening against the war, and they were clapping, I'm nobody.
Yeah.
And a youngster comes in, says he's doing the same, he goes over and says, I am nobody.
Who do you think you are to say you're a nobody? Who do you think you are to say a nobody? Exactly. Or you're a nobody, you got a guy fights a war, I didn't get shlishi. I said, yes, and you're just going, you're saying I'm a nobody, and now you're fighting over shlishi? I'm a nobody, connected you. connected Hashem, but connected you? You're a cockroach, connected me, yeah.
I have a friend who was down in Shatta, Avraham Yatze, who was one of the comments here. He brought down a Navadika leader, Achas HaKvadim HaRosha. Instead of strictness, he'd be good. He brings down a Maisa from Avraham Yatze at a wedding. His granddaughter married the rabbi, was in Rosh Hashiva, I think his name was Perl, Faraka was right.
Per.
So it brings a story down that Rabbi Yaffe, when this rabbi Perl got married, Rabbi Yaffe was one of them giving out the kibbutim for the wedding. And what happened was that all the gedolim came to the wedding, and one of the people got the shevet brachas was some rabbi nobody knew who he was. He was some rabbi in the Bronx, so nobody knew where did Rabbi Yaffe come to give this guy a bracha. Who was he? And he said, "I have my reasons," and he won't tell anybody. But when he died, it turned out that Rabbi Yaffe got a call from this rabbi to come to a wedding that this rabbi in the Bronx was having for his daughter, and Rabbi Yaffe said, "I don't know. I don't know anything. What are you invited to?" No, and he insisted. So Rabbi Yaffe figured they'd send a car for him. This was in the 50s. And they didn't send a car. So he and his wife got on the train. They took a bus. They go to the wedding hall in the mountains. He's sitting there. No kibbutz. Nothing. So his wife was incensed. She says, "Not only didn't send a car for you, don't give me any kibbutz. You don't know the part of the chas. No, let's get out of here." He said, "No, let's stay for the wedding with him. So the chas no longer." And goes home. So now you understand, Tachas HaKvadah, he could have stiffed it to this guy, never invite himself. Instead, Mamashi picked out Tachka. This is the Navadika thing, to invite this guy to the wedding. So I don't know about the you're nothing meetup, but this is a meetup of a friend.
Navadik appears to be much deeper. It's a different approach to life. Navadik is the focus of Shiflus Adam versus the Godless Adam. Two different approaches. Now, what I want to try to show you, to suggest, is these two approaches to life. No, I'll give you one example of what Navardik is. Navardik, on the mat, there's no matzevas. There's a matzeva, just a stone. No name on the matzeva. Nothing. And if you have a name, nothing. Don't write anything on the matzeva. That was the Midin Navardik. Get an aliyah, no titles. Harav, Hagoyin. Nothing. You call a person by their name. There's no covet. How can you give yourself honor whatsoever, leave over a zecher in this world of yourself? That's the spitz of shiflus ha'adam. Work on your midos, humble yourself before the Ribbono shel Olam. Now, each one of these approaches is very dangerous when you go to the extreme. If you go to the extreme in Arvardik, what does that lead to? It leads to depression. It leads to not valuing life at all. It can have a very, very dangerous repercussions if you take the Narvardic approach to the extreme. If you take the Slobodka approach to the extreme, it's gaiva. And once there's a shtickle gaiva, gaiva de kedusha, right, gaiva de kedusha. Gaiva is gaiva. Gaiva is gaiva. It can lead to terrible gaiva, terrible machlekes. Each one of these approaches is very, very dangerous. And that's why each one needs the other, at least to be the conscience of the other. In other words, if you take the approach of Slobodka, in the back of your mind, you know there's something called Narvardik. That's the insurance. The insurance, the conscience of knowing this, something called Narvardik, is the insurance that the Slobodka approach should not get out of control and come leading. You should not become a big Balgaiv and a big Balmachlekas. When you're following the approach of Narvardik, you have to have in your mind, you know, you have to know, you know, there's something called the Slobodka. And if you're a part of Slobodka, there's Kavod Adam, the godless Adam. It's the insurance that you should not go too far. Nothing to the extreme, we all know, is good. Everything has to be taken in balance. And the question is, where is the balance? Each approach is the balance, the insurance of the other approach. Today, by and large, where is the line? The line is, the approach is Slobodka, with having in mind there's something called Narvardik. To keep us in place, we should be careful not to go too far. I wanted to suggest that these two approaches to life is nothing new. It doesn't come only from 200-300 years ago. This goes back, this is the Machlekes Moshe the Aaron. Moshe was a Talmud of the Narvardik Yeshiva. And Aaron, HaKohen, was a Talmud of the Slobodka Yeshiva. How can I say this? How can I say that Moshe and Aaron, we had a different approach to Yadus? Look what happened in this parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, it's now the Yom HaShmini, and Moshe says to Aaron, Aaron, new, today's your day, you are going to be inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol. Aaron gets dressed in the big day Shemoyna, gold, zov, tcheles, argomon, tlashani, the most beautiful clothing, the tzitz hazov, the choshen, the most precious stones in the world. The clothing alone he was wearing was worth millions of dollars. Maybe even more priceless, what he was wearing. And he goes in, he brings the kerbonos, and what happens? What happens? Nothing. Nothing. The fire does not come down from heaven. He offers the three kerbonos, and nothing happens. Pasuk says in Pasuk of Gimel, Perek Tes, Pasuk of Gimel, Vayavoy Moshe v'Aharon el Oyel Moed. Vayetzu vayivarchu esom vayera chavoyd Hashem el kol ha'am. Rashi gives us the background over here, what happened. The previous Pasuk of Gimel, Rashi says, Vayavoy Moshe v'Aharon, I'm jumping down a little bit over here in the lines, Lama nichnas, Dover acher, okay, it's a few lines down in Pasuk of Gimel and Rashi, Kevon sheroha aharon shekarvu kol hakorbanos v'nasu kol hamasim v'lo yorda shchina liYisrael. He offered the korbanos. He got dressed up in his clothing. Everything was kedasu chadin, and 3 million people were watching. The whole world was watching, probably not just Klal Yisrael. Okay, the whole world had a sense what's going on over here. V'lo yorda shchina liYisrael haya mitzta'er. He had a lot of pain. The Omar, Yoideani Shekoas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olai, it's because I participated in the Egel. Uveshvili lo yorda shchina li Yisrael, it's all because of me the shchina did not come down to the Mizbeach. Omar lo, these are words are key. Omar lo le Moshe. Moshe ochi, kachosisoli, shenichnasti v'nisbayashti. Look what you did to me. I blame you. You disgraced me. You knew that the Shekhinah would not come down when I did the Avodah. Everyone was watching. You set me up. You set me up for Bizei Bizyonos. This was the worst Bizyonos a person ever experienced in this world. The expectation was so great. Everything was all geared to this day. Moshe Krav! Loma atabosh. Why are you embarrassed, Aaron? Lekach nifcharta. You've been selected, handpicked by the Ribbono Shel Olam for this role. And he goes in. The whole cloud was waiting. No. It's a failure. Moshe, you set me up. You set me up to fail. Betinus. No, good tinus. Right? My kovod. My honor. My honor has been disgraced. Miyat, so Moshe right away saw he was upset. Nichnas Moshe imo bikshu rachamim. the Yardu Shechina, oh, he was Mespalel, take away the Bezyonis, and the Shechina came down. Okay, now, that's half the story. Let's go a little bit further. In the Psukim, in this story. Okay. The next Rashi. Vayetsu Vayavaruchu Esa'am. Omar. Then the Shechina comes down, and they both come out of the oil moed, and they give Klal Yisrael Lebrocha V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Leinu Masi Yedeinu Kon Leinu Masi Yedeinu Kon. So what does Rashi say here? They said V'hinoyam Lefi Shekol. Now here's the key words. Lefi Shekol Shiva Asmei HaMiluim. What happened during the first 7 days? This was Yom HaShmini. What happened during the first 7 days? Shemidu Moshe LeMishkon V'shimesh Bo. Moshe himself, every single day, single-handedly erected the Mishkan, put all the pieces together, the Shimeshbo, and he offered korbanos. And Chazal tell us, what did Moshe wear? Moshe wasn't a Kohen. What did he wear? He wore the simplest beged that you could possibly find. A white garment made from linen that had no hem. It was so simple. Even the simplest garment in the world has a hem. This garment was so simple, it did not even have an imra, did not even have mamash a shmata. Moshe was wearing on his back, on his body, a shmata. He put the Mishkan together 7 days in a row, took it, put it apart, offered korbanos, and then took it apart for 7 days. And what does it say in Rashi? Loi sharsa boy shchina. Klal Yisrael had big expectations from Moshe as well. If you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are putting together this Mishkan 7 days in a row, don't you think, and you're bringing korbanos, don't you think an Eish, Min HaShemayim, should come down at least once during these 7 days to show that Hashem is satisfied with your service, with your korbanos, with putting together this Mishkan? Lo sharsa bo shechina. V'hoyu Yisrael nichlamim. The people were embarrassed. The Oimrim L'Moshe Rabbeinu, Oimrim L'Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu, Kol HaTorach SheTorachnu, SheTishre Shechina Beinenu, V'Nedash Neschaper Lanu Avoinu Egel? What about all this hard effort, this labor of love that we've done for this last couple of months of building a Mishkan, donating our gold and silver and our precious materials to build a Mishkan? Nothing? Nothing? No Shechina? There's no sign from heaven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You, Moshe, you brought this all on us. They were complaining bitterly to Moshe. Does Moshe care? Do we find anywhere here for 7 days it bothers Moshe, a ki hu zeh, that they're complaining against him? That he took them, everyone, that he brought them to this point? He doesn't care. Now, after Aaron succeeded in bringing down the Shechina on day eight, Lekach Omar, that's why the pasuk says, "Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem tasu v'yero alichem kvod Hashem." Aharon ochi, Aaron, my brother, kedai v'choshev mimeni. Look at that; he's greater than me. She'alidei korban oisof. It was only through his sacrifices, v'avodosoi, and his service, tishre shchino bochem, did Hashem accept your service, that Hashem rests the divine presence, the teidu shehamokoim, and now you know through Aaron that Hashem has chosen you as his nation. Look what's going on over here. In these two Rashis, it's a mamash apella. Moshe Rabbeinu, he puts up the Mishkan 7 days in a row. Every single day is a major, major failure. A major disgrace to Moshe Rabbeinu, a major bizayon. Every Rashi explicitly, the whole Klal Yisrael was waiting to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nisratza, that Hashem forgave them for the chet or egel. Moshe, they donate all the money, they listen to Moshe, they build the Mishkan, Moshe puts it together, he offers korbanos, nothing. Moshe, what did you do to us? What did you do to us? You taking us for a ride? You told us we have to build a Mishkan, we have to do this. Nothing. Hashem is not interested in us. Okay, we'll try tomorrow again. Tomorrow, nothing. Another day, nothing. Moshe does this for 7 days. Does it ever say anywhere during these 7 days that it bothers Moshe Rabbeinu, Aki Huzeh? Does he feel humiliated when 3 million people are watching him do this and watching him fail? Sheva, what say in the pasuk, 7 times that tzaddik falls. What? Sheva yipol tzaddik. Does Moshe feel embarrassed? What does Moshe look like when he's doing this? He's wearing a shmata. He's wearing a choluk lovon she'ein loy imra. That's the way of Chazal telling us he was wearing a shmata. And he does this for 7 days in a row, failure after failure, water off a duck, big deal. Aaron, on day 8, gets dressed up. He gets dressed up in clothing. That's priceless. Big day, shmoina, tzitz, precious stones, choshen, ephite. Whew, a sight to see. He goes in. One walks in, one time, he comes out. It doesn't work. After one try, bitter complaint to Moshe. Moshe, my dignity, my kavod. I'm the Kohen Gadol. I'm the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol wears the clothing l'chavod ul'sifares. You set me up for bezyonos. I have big tainus on you. You embarrass me. You disgrace me. Look what you did to me. So Moshe would say to him, what about me? What about me? I did this for 7 days. Not like you wearing such nice clothing. I was wearing a shmata for 7 days and I failed 7 days. Am I complaining that I was humiliated in front of the eyes of the whole Klal Yisrael 7 times more than you? And it's not just 7 times. No, it builds on itself. Am I complaining? I'm not complaining. So what are you complaining about? So why did even Aaron even have tainus on Moshe Rabbeinu? Why didn't he learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? There's nothing to complain about. Moshe did it 7 times. It didn't work for him. So Aaron thinks it's going to be better. The answer is they have a different derech. Each one of them is from a different world. The derech of Moshe Rabbeinu is narvardik. En achanami. I thrive on bezyonos. I thrive on it. This is what I'm all about. It says in Torah, "Ve'ish Moshe onav me'oid mikola." What does that mean? He was humble, and Aaron's not humble. Only Moshe was humble, and the Shivim Zakenim were not humble. Is that what it means? So Pashup Shad, he had a darug, a special darug. The many Ayin Perushim. It means "Ve'ish Moshe onav me'oid" means his mahus is a derech of narvardik. Shiflus ha'adam. Doesn't just mean I'm humble. The Slobodka Talmidim were very humble, extremely humble. They were all Bali Musar, tremendous Bali Musar. Some of the Slobodka Talmidim were more humble than the Narvardic Talmidim. It's not a question of humble, it's a different derech. Humility is a midah. Everyone has to work on their midahs to achieve humility. So why does the Torah go say that only Moshe? So one interpretation is, this is the essence of Moshe. The mahus, my mahalach in life is narvardik, shiflus ha'adav. I wear shmatas. I wore a chaluk lavan she'en lo yimra. I failed 7 times. Givaldik. I thrive on failure. This is what narvardik is all about. Shiflus ha'adav. It's my derech and avodas Hashem. Aroin is from a different world. Aroin is l'chovoid u'l'sifares. You dress the way you're supposed to dress. Dignity. Busha is not tolerated in this world. Gadlus ha'adam. Man is great. It's not an animal. There's kavod. There's derech eretz. One day, when things don't go my way, this is a problem. I have tainus. That's right. I should have tainus. Kavod ha'adam. Gadlus ha'adam. Moshe v'Aaron are from different worlds. And by design, and it has to be like that. Each one, the world needs both. There has to be a balance. And everyone, their nature of their neshama fits within one category. But each one, the other one is the conscience of the other side. The world needs a Moshe. The world needs an Aaron. Together as a team, is it possible to bring the Shechina, to bring the Shlemus to this world? Goes back to Moshe Yaakov.
No, what?
It seems to be some kind of dispute between the commentary known as Rashi and Kvoi.
Why? Chas v'shalom, Rashi
is... Because Rashi's crab of Mizbeach. Why? Because he was boish. He was ashamed, embarrassed to go Mizbeach. Aaron, Slobotka, ashamed, embarrassed.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Because Aaron did the... Rashi says, because Aaron did the Egel.
So why was he ashamed?
Kvoid ha'odam. He knew he would fail. Because he was afraid that he would fail. Exactly. Because Aaron was scared to death that he would fail in his mission. And if he fails, that's a bezoyin. And if you're a person of kavod, you have shame. Narvardik, there is no shame. I'm going to walk into the bakery and ask for nails and screws. I have no shame. There's no bosh. Adarabba, I love it. I thrive on busha. But a person who has kavod, has dignity in life, I'm afraid that it's poison for me. There should be shame. Aaron suspected this exactly what would happen because Aaron participated in the angle. I don't want to do this. I don't want my dignity. I don't want my dignity to suffer because my derech and avodas Hashem is to preserve the tzelem Elokim, the galus ha'adam, and busha takes away from the galus ha'adam.
And where did he buy his begotten? He went to S&W.
Who? Aaron? He wore the big dikuhuna.
Of course he did.
The Torah. That's why he was selected to be the Kohen Gadol because the Torah has an institution of slobodka. And Slobodka means Kvoid Adam, Godless Adam. And for that category of people, the Torah has given them the Big Day Kahuna, Lichavoid Ula Sephoris.
And what happened in Mitzrayim when Aaron Kohen said, Mesh Rabbeinu, my younger brother, I'm older.
We're not in Mitzrayim now. We're not in Mitzrayim now. We're not within Midbar.
But you see that. But you see that Moshe Rabbeinu, he supported Aaron.
Of course.
Even though
Aaron didn't support Moshe Rabbeinu, there are two. Each one is necessary. Each one has respect for the other.
No doubt.
If you are from a Slobodka, if you don't believe in the Navardic approach, then you're finished. You're toast. You'll be called a massive balgaiva. And there'll be machlekes in the world. And if you're Narvardic, you'll be depressed. You'll come to an end. Each one needs the other. The question is to focus the balance, the ikar. Every person is different. Every person is a different nature. Some people belong in the kingdom of Slobodka. Some belong in the kingdom of Narvardic. You see here at this moment in time, two very different people. Rashi is clear. Rashi over here shows the extreme sensitivity to bizyonos with Aaron HaKoyim. Bosh, I'm embarrassed. The first failure, bitter complaint. Read the words of Rashi. He's bitterly complains against Moshe Rabbeinu. You mevazavi. Moshe Rabbeinu, he does the same exact thing for 7 days with the same exact expectations. Exactly, look, read the words of Rashi. Klal Yisrael is watching him for 7 days and they're very upset that this failure, the Shekhinah is not coming down. And who are they blaming? Moshe. And Moshe, I'm not embarrassed. I couldn't care less. I failed 7 times. Gesund hate. I don't care. I'm not embarrassed. And I'm eating the Chazal. What clothing did Aaron wear when he did the Avodah? Big day Shmoyna. What clothing did Moshe wear when he did the Avodah for 7 days? A choluk lavan she'en lo yimra. What's the difference? Why is Moshe totally immune to bizyonos? And why is Aaron super, super duper sensitive to bizyonos? Well, when you live in the kim of Slobodka and you focus on the godless of Adam, bizyonos is a very big deal. It's a big deal to suffer bizyonos. When you're in the camp of Narvardik, Bezyonos, that's the way of life. That's the way of life. Moshe and Aaron have a different derech. And we have who Moshe and Aaron. Throughout the Torah it says, sometimes it says Aaron first, sometimes it says Moshe first. Why did Chazal tell us they're a team? Why did Chazal tell us that they're shokel? Moshe and Aaron is shokel. Sometimes Moshe comes first, sometimes Aaron comes first. It's because they have different midas. They have a different derech and avodas Hashem, and each needs the other. The two, you cannot separate the approach of the godless Adam from the approach of shiftless Adam. As a klal, we need to have both of them together.
Yeah. Because it was the lowest mountain, so you should be...
low, humble.
Humble. Well, so they asked, well, why does it give it on a mountain b'chlal? Why not give it in a valley then?
Shtikl gaiva. Shminish sheba shminish. Shminish sheba. It's all about balance. Okay, running out of time. Let's jump now to a var. This is along the lines, along the same lines. I'm going to jump ahead. I won't say it's filet, but let's be running out of time quickly. B'chagav. Does anyone here eat grasshoppers? No one, I think, over here among the Ashkenazim eat grasshoppers. The Sephardim, the Yemenites, I think the only ones today that have a tradition which grasshopper is kosher are the Yemenites. What's the big deal to eat a grasshopper? Why not? The Torah gives very, very clear simonim, what is a kosher grasshopper. So let me read you the words of Rashi. How do we know what is a kosher grasshopper? Let's see if I can find it over here. Chogov. Okay, Al Arbas. On Pasuk Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk of Aleph. So it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says there are five simonim to identify a chogov. Okay, I read you the Rashi. Rashi says here, V'yesh mehen harbe. Okay, there are many creatures out there in the world that qualify as candidates to be a chogov. Yeshem harbe ka'osim shakarin, whatever you go, v'avol einanu b'kin bohem. We're not an expert in the chogov. Why not? So Rashi explains, sha'arba'o simone tohara nemru bohem. A chogov, the Torah lists four simonim. Number one, arba raglayim. It has to have 4 feet. Number two, the arba kinofayim. It must have 4 wings. Number three, the kar sulin. Antenna. How do you say in plural? Antenna. Two antenna. Antennae. That's the plural.
Plural.
It's plural.
With the antenna
is one. And antennae is plural. Two antennae. Antennae. Eluk, then he goes explains what the antennae are. And then the last one is the kunafav, the wings must cover es ruboy, the majority of their body. Okay, four simonim, 4 legs, 4 wings, the wings cover their body, and they have antennae. And then the chol simonim halalu mitsuyin ve'oisam shebeinenu, and Rashi writes that where we live, there are many varieties of grasshoppers that have all 4 simonim. So what's the problem? Kimat every variety of chogov is mutar biachila. Avol yesh shereishan, but here's the fifth simon. The fifth simon given in the Mishnah is, in addition to having these simonim, it has to be called a chogov. People have to call this creature a chogov. It's not enough that these creatures have the simonim. It has to be called a chogov. And Rashi goes on to say, there are some grasshoppers that have long necks, their heads are very long, and they have no tail. And the rule is, it has to be called in the dictionary chogov.
Were you
shechted
him or not?
No, there's no shechita by a chogov. So I want to suggest that this Rashi here is a very powerful Musa Haskel to Yadus. There are 5 simonim to eat a chogov. 4 you can identify. Chapter and verse, you can identify under a microscope. The 5th, it's not a matter of identifying it. Does it have the shame? Is this what we call a chogov? A chogov. A messiah called a chogov. That's maybe. It has to be called a chogov. You could have people out there in the world that are talmidei chachamim. They know halacha. They know Torah. They know shulchan aruch. They are knowledgeable in every aspect of yadus. But there's something wrong. There's an intangible. There's some flavor to their character, to their hashkafa, which is not traditional. When you look at these people, theoretically, a person knows kol haTorah kula, but he's smoking a cigarette on Shabbos while he's learning a daf gemara. Well, that's obviously is not shom Torah mitzvahs. I'm talking about even a person, Rachman HaTzlan, can be shom Torah mitzvahs. There's something missing. There is an intangible. It's not called Yadus. It's something in the Midas. Now, over here, I think Rashi, now what is the Ikur Midah in life? The Ikur Midah, the only Midah, the Torah and Pirkei Avos this week, is gaiva. Gaiva and humility. All the midas in Pirkei Avos is only one mida which a person has to go to the extreme, and that is humility. Me'oid, me'oid, have shefal ruach. We have a general rule that a person should always be in the middle. Not here, not there. Follow the middle approach. When it comes to humility, the real mida of humility, the only place we have a license to go to an extreme is gaiva, humility. So I want to suggest, that's really what Rashi over here is saying. Over here you have a chagav. The chagav has all the simanim, four legs, four wings. It has the antennae, and the wings cover the majority of the body. But not every creature is called a chagav. Some of them have very long heads. Their necks are stretched out all the way. They're moiridika bale gaiva. And they don't have a tail. A tail always is symbolic of humility. The zonov is the lowest part of the body. There are creatures have all the simonim, but they're lacking in midos. They're lacking in the main midah of humility. They have long, outstretched heads. Gaiva. That word talks about having a head all the way up in the air. It's gaiva. There's no tail. A zonov represents humility. There's no humility. There's no humility. Thus, it's lacking in the fifth intangible simin. It's not called a chagav. Everything can be fine and good on paper and in theory and in science, but you need the intangible to be there as well. It has to be called a chagav. You have to be, this is Yadus. You know it when you see it. When you see it, you know it. Everything can be fine and good, but the intangible, the sixth sense, you can sense this is just not the real. For the mice with one of the big rabbis, they took a goy. There are a lot of stories, but this is a very powerful story, which I'm not going to get in trouble with. You can get into a lot of trouble with this idea. But there was a mice with a very real holy rabbi. And they took a guy who was playing with all the kids outside. They dressed him up like a chassid, and they taught him to memorize the Mishnayos. Balpe is a child prodigy, and they taught him to memorize all the Mishnayos. And they took him into the Rebbe for a faher, and the Rebbe fahered this little guy who was dressed up like a little Jew, all dressed up, and he answered every question right. Everything was 100%. And when the boy went out of the room, the Rebbe said, "There's something wrong. There's just something wrong. That kid, he knows everything. There's something missing." And then they confessed, which we were playing with you, that he's a guy. He's a guy, and he's an Eloi. He knows all the shtick, he knows everything, and we dressed him up, and we won. And how do you know? How did the Rebbe know that he's a guy? So he said, he didn't shuckle when he said the Mishnayos. The little Yiddish Akidalach, they shuckle, they all shuckle. He didn't shuckle. He just stood there and he just said it.
Yes, that was the Maaseh with the Aruch HaShulchan.
Aruch HaShulchan. So you see, it's the intangible. It's the intangible. It has all the simonim. You got 100 on the exam. But it's not called a chagav. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk about the Seir HaChatosh Doroish Torash Moshe V'Nesra. This week's parasha is a very tragic parasha where we learn about the death of Nadav Aviv. Nadav Aviv, they brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh of an Eish Zorash HaLotzi by some Rashi. The Gemara gives many reasons why they died. Rashi only quotes two of the reasons. They were Moira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi, and they entered into the Kodesh HaKadosh M'Shesuyei Yayin. Okay, so what happened? Terrible tragedy. The fire came down. They died. And they were taken; their bodies were taken out. And now the question was: What will Aroid and his children do with the korbanos that were offered? The korbanos that were offered on this day, they had to be eaten. There was a mincha that there were menachos that were offered, which had under normal circumstances are eaten. And there was the sohir of Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, Monday. So Rosh Chodesh, you bring a sor l'chatos, and a chatos to koyhanim eat the chatos. So Moshe tells Aaron, you're in oinein, you're in a state of mourning for your child. Under normal circumstances, an oinein, or let's say Aaron's children, those of some are an oinein, does not do the avodah. But I'm telling you now, it's a choyro asha, being that today is a day of, it's the Chanukah HaMishkan, it's the first day of the Mishkan, we're being special Kabbanis. I'm telling you, a divine command, right from Hashem, you should proceed to do the Avodah, to eat the Kabbanis, just like you would do if you would not be in this state of mourning. So Aaron and his children, they do what they do, and Moshe comes back later in the day, and he discovers everything was done Kedasu Chedin, like he instructed, with one exception. The Sohir of Rosh Chodesh, there were three Kurbanos offered on that day, three Chatois. There was the Chatos of Aaron, the eagle that he brought because he was the inaugural Karban for the Mishkan, and there was Nachshon ben Aminadav who brought the first of the 12 days of also the Nisim, and there was the Sohir of Rosh Chodesh. Everything was eaten, Kedasu Chodesh, like he told them to do to make an exception, except for the Sohir of Rosh Chodesh. It was completely burnt. Burnt to a crisp, it was not eaten. And Moshe got very angry. By Yitzhak, Moshe was angry, why wasn't the Sohir eaten by the Kohanim? The halacha is the Kohanim must eat from the Karban in order that Klal Yisrael get full kapara, the Ochlu Oysama Sharkupar Boher. And after a long story, after going through all the deals, what could possibly have gone wrong, Aaron says to Moshe, Moshe, I think you're making a mistake. When Hashem told you that we should eat the korbanos, even though we are in a state of aninus, that only applied to the korbanos that were special for today, unique for the inauguration of the Mishkan. But we brought today a korban that's going to be brought for all generations. We brought today a sohir that is offered on Rosh Chodesh. That's not unique because of the inauguration of the Mishkan. This carbon is brought because it's Rosh Chodesh. And in a month from now, we're going to bring it again. And in a month from now, we're going to bring it again. It's Kodshei Doiros. It's a Kodshim that's going to be offered for all generations. When Hashem told you that you can eat Korbanos in the state of Aninus, that was only for Kodshei Shoah, Kodshim of the moment. But it's not true with regard to Kodshei Doiros. It's Rashi, Mechon Pasek. So Moshe says to Aaron, Aaron, you're right, I made a mistake, you're right. And Vayitav Be'enov, Moshe was very, very pleased with this response. What exactly is going on here between the lines? So many Mepharshim have different interpretations, but something very, very similar. Aaron adds one very, very interesting statement in his mention to Moshe, which is really out of context. In his response to Moshe, he says, and Rashi works backwards to explain what this means. Rashi, he says, let me find the words of Rashi. Vayidaber Aharon el Moshe. Hein, behold, hayoim hikrivu, if I would have offered es chatosam v'es oilosam lefnei Hashem, Vatikreno oisi, and a tragedy would come to me, ko ele, like this. The unusual part of this pasuk is the chof ko ele. V'yachalti chatos hayom hayita b'enei Hashem. V'yishma Moshe v'yita b'enei. In this pasuk, we're learning our time. In this pasuk, Moshe is saying, Aaron is saying to Moshe, I can't eat it. Is it really proper? Even I'm an oinin. I have suffered terribly. I'm in a state of mourning. Vatikreno eile. The pasuk should say, Vatikreno oisi eile. It has occurred to me a horrific tragedy. My two children died today. Is it really right I should eat the meat of the carbon in this state that I'm in of tragedy? Of course not. Oh, but Hashem told you I should eat it? Yeah, Hashem told you I should eat Kodshei Shoah, but not Kodshei Doiros. Okay, so, but why does he say Ko'ele, like this? This has happened. What do you have to go make up if it happens to be something similar to what has happened? It has happened. What are you making up new scenarios? Deal with what has happened in front of us. If something like this would have happened to me, would it be proper to eat the meat? What do you think something like this would happen? It did happen to you. And you are indeed in a state of aninus. So therefore, and but it's kachshei doyres. So therefore, you're allowed to eat it. What's the koil? So Rashi struggles. Rashi says, even if it was not my child. Okay, Rashi goes. I'm going to take too long though. The Rashi tries to. It says technical things to explain it. I want to suggest, besides, of course, Rabban Shel Yisrael Rashi, a drush to explain what exactly is the chilik between kodshei shok, kodshei doiras. When a person, Rachman Litzlan, suffers tragedy, every person deals with the tragedy on their own level. Aaron was on an exalted spiritual level. He was able to proceed and do the avoida with the same simcha, the same joy, as if nothing happened. Super, super human to do such a thing like that. But you cannot expect those standards for the average person, for all generations. Aaron here, he is the Kohen Gadol. He is the first Kohen Gadol. He's on a very high exalted level. He is able in his mind to put aside the tragedy and proceed and inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash with very, very great simcha. But what's going to be the next generation? And the next generation, all generations, you're not always going to have leaders and people. People are people. People are human beings who are able to put aside tragedy and proceed to deal with situations as if nothing ever happened. That's unreasonable. Therefore, that's exactly what he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, today there are different korbanos being offered. There are korbanos that will never ever be repeated in the history of the world again. For those korbanos, you know what? I can deal with it on my superhuman madrega of kedusha. I'm going to put aside what has happened. I'm going to eat as if nothing happened. When you eat, you have to. When you're eating, it's pleasure. Eating goes together with pleasure. You have to have pleasure when you eat. Lemoshcha, delicious, to relish the meat. That's right. I'm going to forget about the tragedy in honor of Hashem. Today is Hashem's day. The Shechina has come down to this world. I'm going to eat it. But the Sohir of Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be the first of many thousands of Seirim that are going to happen for all future generations. Every time a person brings a carbon, let's say in 1,000 years from now, they bring the Sohir of Rosh Chodesh, they're going to, this is the same Sohir that was brought last month and last, going back to the very first Sohir that was brought by Aaron HaKoyin. And then they're going to say, look at that. Aaron HaKoyen was indifferent to the suffering of someone else. He made believe business as usual. Two people died, two young people died. The Chol B'nei Yisrael Yivku Es HaSreifa Asher Sorav Hashem. Terrible tragedy. And Aaron HaKoyen's business as usual. He eats the meat. He relishes the meat, he put good ingredients, lamashcha, everything goes along with it. He celebrates the eating of this meat. Now, 1,000 years later, it trickles down. Is if the tzibur is suffering, let's say the tzibur is suffering and we have leaders, too bad for them, they're suffering. I don't have to be mishtatef in their tzar, in their suffering. That's not the right attitude. Vatikrena ko'ele. Aaron is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm saying, Drush, I know I'm on a madrega, I can put it, I can do it, I can eat it with the full simcha because I'm different. And I will, when it comes to things that are unique to today that will never be repeated, and no one's going to be able to look back and compare, I'm going to do what I can do. But I'm setting a precedent now for all future generations. For all future generations, it's not the right attitude that when other people are suffering, I should be in an exalted state of simcha. Even on Shabbos, when a person Rachman Litzlan is in the state, there's no avelus, the avelus on Shabbos, there's no avelus on Yom Tov, that's only Dvarm Sheba Goloi. But Dvarm Sheba Tzina, there is. There is such a thing. There has to be a balance. There has to be a balance when other people are suffering. Today is an incredible day of simcha, but it's also the beginning of the Kodshei Doiris. I have your carbon chatas. I should eat it and relish the meat. But I'm an oinin. I'm in mourning. And Aaron is allowed to, Aaron technically is allowed to eat it when he's in oinin. He technically is allowed to eat it. I mean, that's the whole question over here.
He has someone else to be metabolic.
But Aaron over here says, Vatikrene ko'ele, if such a thing happens, not this would happen, this. What happened today, Eila, I can deal with. And the proof I can deal with it is because the other korbanos I'm going to deal with, I'm going to eat. But let's deal with something similar, not exactly this type of situation, where I couldn't deal with it, or where other people cannot deal with it like I can. Is really v'yochalti chatos hayom, I'm going to relish the delicious meat when there's suffering in this world, and this fedor is going to set a precedent for all future generations. Hayita v'enei Hashem. Is this really what Hashem wants, to ignore other people's suffering? Is this proper? And Moshe says, you're right. You truly know what Jewish leadership is all about. To be noisei be'olim chaveroi, to feel the pain of other people. Aaron did not eat from the sur chatos, even though technically he could have. There are many loopholes how he could have done this. He didn't. Why? Rashi says, it's kodshei doiros. This is not a private matter. This is for all future generations. Not everyone is like me. I have to take into consideration that tikrena oisi ko'ele, similar situations, where I'm not the person who's leading Klal Yisrael. There'll be another leader. You have to have sensitivity to what is taking place out in society. Therefore, this was his response, and Moshe was, very rarely do we find Moshe having emotion. Vayita, ah, gewaltig. You hit the nail on the head. This is key in leadership, to bear, to feel the pain of someone else. Okay, last var to wind down. It's Mocher Chodesh. Machor Chodesh, we learn a special Haftorah. Question, why do we learn the Haftorah about Dov? What's Haftorah? The whole Machor Chodesh is two words. Dov, Yehoinason says to Dov, Dov, you're not going to be here tomorrow because Shaul is acting strange. My father, he's acting a little strange. He's paranoid. It's a little bit dangerous to you be around the house. He might throw a knife at you. So I suggest you don't come to the meal tomorrow. Machor Chodesh! And v'nifkadeta, you're going to be missing. I'm going to check out my father, and I'm going to meet you in the forest, and I'm going to do some arrow practice, and I'll let you know if you should run away or if everything is coast is clear. So the whole event took place. The whole event took place on Rosh Chodesh, and really the real main event took place on the day after Rosh Chodesh. It took place on the whole event took place on the second day of the month. Not even on Rosh Chodesh. Because it says in the Pasuk, Machar Chodesh, this is why we lame this whole event, which L'chora has nothing to do with anything. Bishlama Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Hashamayim, Kisi, V'aretz, Hadam Raglai, oh, so you have all these nice things about the future, Rosh Chodesh, Yomtif. What is this? What's going on over here? A story in Sefer Shmuel about David, Yehoinasan, Shaul is paranoid. Because it says two words, Machor Chodesh, my high. What's going on over here? Two answers, very quickly. Yesh Machor La'achar Zman. When it says the word Machor, Machor doesn't just mean tomorrow. Machor means in a long, long time from now. Why? Why do we bring a Sohir on Rosh Chodesh? Famous, well-known Gemara himself, the Sanhedrin. Hashem says, I sinned. Now, that's almost apikursis to say such thing. At Surah Tam and Polo, on the side of the Gemara says, no one knows what this means, so don't get carried away. What does it mean? It means Hashem created the Shemesh and the Yireach, and Hashem, Ein Shenei Melachim Mishamshim Bekeser Echad. So what happened? Hashem said to the Levana, Lechi Ma'ati Es Atzmech. The Levana was hurt. Was had tsar, terrible tsar. Hashem said, don't have tsar, I'll be mafayas you, I'll create the stars. All of the stars were only created to be mafayas, to appease the Levana. The Levana was still not satisfied. So Hashem says, I made a mistake. I know what that means. I think I was happy because I know what that means. So you know what? Bring for me a carbon. Bring for me a carbon. Carbon. Rosh Chodeshim li'amcha nasata zman kaparo l'chol toldoisam, the toldois of the world. Who knows what this means? Okay, David and Shaul, who was meant to be the successor of Shaul HaMelech? They were two very good candidates. There was Shaul's son, Yehoinah's son. That was the choice of a Shaul, clear as day in the pasuk in the Haftarah. And there's another candidate, Hashem's candidate, David. Each one could have been a very successful melech to succeed Shaul HaMelech. Why couldn't they both be? Why couldn't it be that after the death, like all the Rebbes today, when the Rebbe dies today, split. That's the way the world is, right? There's enough chassidim for everyone, hopefully. So, every time we see this in the world, kachi darka shalaylam, we see that it splinters. That's the way the world goes. This population growth, there's enough for everyone. So why, when Shaul would die, why couldn't they share the melucha? David, together with Yehoina's son. You know what the answer is? It doesn't always work. Ein shnei melachim mishamshim b'keser echad. So one of them has to be l'chi mematias atzmech. One of them has to step aside. Who's going to step aside here? Each one of these two, we read the Haftarah, was more than willing to step aside for the other. Yehoina's son was willing to step aside, even though he's the biological heir to the throne, to David. And David, ani toilas v'loyish. David was very willing to step aside. He didn't even want to be the melech altogether. The whole thing was brought upon him. Shmuel says you have to be no matter what. Look at that. There is no bad feeling. What is Rosh Chodesh all about? The Sar L'chatos, the moon was not appeased. The moon had tsar. The moon had tsar. Why me? Why did I have to be mimayit myself? I'll appease you. Hashem, there's nothing you can do to be mefayis me. I have tsar. Hashem said, you're right. The tsar will remain until the days of Mashiach. Until then, the psukim and Yeshaya, everything is going to be different then. Yesh mochor li'achar zman. David and Shaul are the exception. Shaul stepped down in honor of David. With no complaint, no bitterness, no tsar. It says here in the Haftarah twice, the bris, remember the bris. Yohanes and David. Remember the bris between me and you. Shlemos. It says over and over in the Haftarah, we're at peace with each other. There's no machlaikas. I'm going to step down. You're going to be the melech. Everything is fine and good. Remember, they're at peace with you. There's no complaints whatsoever. What? What are you talking about? It's the DNA of this world is and the one that is mematzmech is built into the DNA of the world. Is I have tainus on you, Hashem. Why not me? I need the stars, and even that's not enough. Hashem has to bring a carbon every single Rosh Chodesh, whatever that means, to be mefayis the Levana. What's going on over here? David and Shaul and Yehoina's son, a different world. Where are they coming from? Mars. What are they doing? At peace? No machloikas? What's going on over here? That's right. Machar Chodesh v'nifkadita. This whole event is not shaykh to today. Yesh machar la'achar zman. This whole idea refers to what's going to be L'yamos HaMashiach, where it will be possible, the Levana will be restored, and it will be possible for there to be such a concept, whatever this means, of Shnei Melachim, Meshamshim, Mekeser Echad. Shabbos is a tkufa of Mochar Chodesh, to focus what is Rosh Chodesh, and to recognize, Taka, Mashiach will come. It's not just going to be a Rosh Chodesh Mochar. It's going to be a whole different type of Rosh Chodesh. It's much better Mocha Chodesh than Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. When you have Mocha Chodesh, you have this whole concept of the Shlemus of what's Akach going to be, which all alluded to in the story of David and Shaul. That perhaps something we can take away. Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best to you.